On the Record on News Talk.
Brought to you by PwC. Great minds think unalike. Different skill sets, diverse opinions, it all adds up. The new equation.
A few dozen tractors and other farm equipment will be driven in convoy through Dublin city centre this afternoon, which is expected to have an impact on traffic in the capital. It's a demonstration organised by the Irish Farmers Association in protest at the government's stance on the Climate Action Plan and on forthcoming changes to the EU's Common Agricultural Policy. Let's bring in the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell, to discuss those. Minister, thank you very much for joining us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Gavin.
The major concern, I suppose, when it comes to the Climate Action Plan is that farmers really don't believe the government when they say there isn't a threat to the national herd, or that they don't believe they're going to have to, that they won't have to downsize the amount of livestock they have. How is it going to be possible for farms to actually reach their emissions cuts targets without trying to get rid of their livestock?
Well, I wouldn't agree that farmers don't accept that. I think I, as Minister, have been very clear with farmers. Their objective here is to reduce emissions, not to reduce the food that we produce. We're very fortunate in terms of the fact that the agricultural model we have nationally is one of the most sustainable food producing systems in the world, being grass-based, being pasture-based. So we're already very, very sustainable in terms of the food we produce. But of course, like every other sector of society, we have to further reduce those emissions over the next number of years. And that is possible to do. And there's many measures which we can take which actually will achieve that. And my objective is to work with all in the farming community to ensure that those measures are adapted in the years ahead and that farmers are supported in that. And also that we see farm incomes strengthened in the process. And also, Gavin, I'm very confident we will also see agriculture become much stronger in the process, because in any sector of the economy that can show that it is sustainable and has, in terms of how it operates, has a very strong future ahead. And that is the situation for Irish agriculture as one of the most sustainable internationally, and therefore it will get stronger over the course of this decade.
One of the complaints,
as Minister, I will support the sector in doing that.
One of the complaints from farmers is that they say that the Climate Action Plan isn't prescriptive enough for how their cuts are going to be achieved. You've said that there are several things that could be done. Talk us through them. What can they do?
Yeah, well, first of all, the key starting point was establishing what the sectoral targets would be. And in terms of the sectoral target that's there for agriculture, which is a range of between 22% and 30% reduction by the end of this decade, that's a much lower level of reduction than other sectors of the economy would have to deliver.
By the by, when will they know where it is between 22 and 31? Because I know those plans were drawn up before some of the other budgets were enacted and the like. So when are they going to know exactly what the target is, first of all?
Well, it's a range for us. It's a range of between 22 and 30, and that will evolve over the decade as it becomes clear what the different capacity of various sectors to deliver is. And I will now be engaging very closely with all stakeholders in the agriculture sector in relation to putting together very detailed plans as to how we actually year by year put in place and achieve those emissions reductions. We've already made significant progress over the last two or three years. I published last year the Acclimatise roadmap, which clearly laid out many measures which were delivering on the previous Climate Action Plan. And I'll also now do the same in relation to this new sectoral target. But in putting the sectoral target together, we were very cognizant of ensuring that it was a target which would enable agriculture to continue to produce the food, but actually to be able to deliver a proportionate reduction to what it can achieve. And I think that has been recognised by most in the farming community as well, that that is a target while it's ambitious, is one that the sector can actually deliver
on. But you understand, though, most of the emissions, particularly methane, come from the livestock that they have, and there isn't really any obvious way. It's not as if there's like a Toyota Prius equivalent of livestock, some sort of lower emissions version that you can just adopt or switch over to. Livestock is responsible for emissions, and a lot of them just don't think they can cut their emissions without cutting back on their livestock, which means downsizing their businesses.
Yeah, well, in agriculture, about 30% of the overall sector's emissions is nitrous oxide based, which is how we manage fertilizers and organic manures, for example. So there's very significant steps which we can take, and farmers are already taking and adopting very quickly. They can reduce the need for chemical fertilizer, reduce emissions, for example, from spreading slurry as well through the use of low emission slurry spreading technology and spreading apparatuses. And that change is happening very promptly. So there's a lot of can be achieved in that. But then in the methane side, which is about 65% of agriculture's emissions, there's also significant steps that can be taken there. So, for example, in relation to reducing the average age of slaughter of animals, which there can be progress made on. But also there is emerging science in this and research in this field as well in relation to the use of feed additives. Many of the potential products of which are actually going through approval processes at the moment with regulatory agencies, which do show real potential to significantly reduce methane emissions from animals while maintaining production.
But the flip side to that, though, would be that, you know, Irish beef is such a big seller around the world because of the climate here means that the grass has a certain texture or taste to it, and then that ends up feeding through to the quality of the beef, and that if you end up adjusting what cattle are actually fed, then you don't have the same product at the other end.
Well, we would without a doubt remain as a grass-based production system. There's no two ways about that, but it's about how additives can be introduced into that which have that effect of reducing the methane output. And certainly it's something I've invested in as minister, the Chagos Gordon. Significant research in terms of the applicability of the emerging research internationally around this to Irish circumstances, and there is real potential in that. And also that there's work and research work going on, for example, which is showing very clear evidence as well that different animals that produce the same amount of beef and the same growth statistics do produce different levels of methane, and that can be factored into breeding to genetics as well in a way that's hereditary. So there's real potential there to see methane reduced by the adoption of those practices.
It sounds like though a lot of those additives or a lot of the things that will help farmers get to the whatever level it needs to be are all things which are slightly hypothetical or things which need to be researched. They're not things which already exist as solutions which are just waiting to be rolled out at scale, that it all seems a little bit speculative.
Some of it is emerging, without a doubt, but there's many aspects of what we can do which can be delivered immediately and over the short term, and we will push through those. But those other measures, for example, which I just discussed with you there, the research is very detailed already in relation to the potential for those, and those will be actualized in the time ahead and deliver. So there's no doubt, Gavin, that as we proceed through this decade, and this just won't be applicable to agriculture but to other sectors of society, that as we turn our minds to the need to address that very real challenge that is facing the globe and is facing humanity of reducing the global warming and addressing that climate change issue, that research and funding is being put into it, that progress is being made every week and every month in relation to this, and that progress and that research and that capacity to adopt practice changes in practice that will make a difference, that will be adopted as we go forward. And the key thing from the agriculture point of view now is we will be pushing on with all of the steps that we can take immediately. We will also be continuing to invest in actualizing those other things that have potential, and we have set a sectoral target, which is, while ambitious, is deliverable from agriculture in terms of an emissions point of view, but also will enable us to continue to produce the food, which is really important as well, that we do it.
I'll move on after this. There'll be some who will think, though, that you know, you say that the target is achievable based on some of those emerging technologies. There'll be some that will say that until they know that technology exists and can be rolled out at scale, that they don't know for certain whether it is possible for agriculture to meet those cuts. And given that every sector is going to be, you know, held to account, and that there will be the prospect of some penalties in some sectors that aren't able to make those cuts, then what are the carrots and sticks going to look like for farmers as they try to achieve those targets?
Well, for example, I mean, at the moment, I'm also putting together our national CAP plan, which will serve us between now and the end of 2027, and which will run the various farm schemes that farmers will sign up to and participate in over that period of time. And with the support of my ministerial colleague, Minister Michael McGrath, I was glad to be able to deliver over 50% increase in the funding from the national funding pot, which will go towards that CAP plan. So the outgoing CAP program saw a funding of 1.9 billion euro. We're increasing that to 2.9 billion euro for this period of time. And that's to enable farmers to do many of the schemes and build many of the schemes which are there, which are delivering from an environmental point of view, from a biodiversity point of view, and also from an emissions point of view, but significantly as well to support farm family incomes in the process. So at a government level, we're going to back farm families in terms of funding and in terms of income, and incomes will be very central to what we do. This year, for example, as well alone in 2021. In terms of continuing many of the existing schemes in the outgoing cap, Minister McGrath delivered an 11% increase in the national budget for agriculture this year to be able to back farm families too. So from a financial point of view, we'll back farm families, but also in the time ahead, by continuing to be among the most sustainable food producers in the world, Irish agriculture will continue to be one of the most sought after food products in the world and food producers. And that will see us maintain and grow the markets we have and maximize the value of what we're selling and of the food that we produce too. Okay. And in the process, really importantly, drive family farm income. So I think we will see Irish agriculture strengthen as this decade goes on. There's no doubt it'll be a decade of change. It'll be a decade of adaptation, of changing how the practice of how we produce the food, but we'll become stronger in the process, and Irish farm family incomes, I fully believe, will strengthen as the decade proceeds too.
I know you've been, you've just finished, I think, a nationwide tour of different markets where you've been speaking to livestock farmers about the impact of the Climate Action Plan and about the forthcoming changes to CAP as well. But obviously, you have a big issue on your own doorstep in your constituency of Donegal, because it is the constituency in the county which is most affected by the blight of mica. Now, our understanding is that there was supposed to be a redress scheme going to Cabinet, I think, this coming Tuesday. First of all, do you know, is that still the plan? And can you confirm or can you offer any commentary on the idea that there will be a cap of €400,000 on the redress available?
Well, there has been very significant ongoing engagement right across government over the last number of weeks in terms of finalising this scheme and getting the details of it right. I want to recognise the tremendous effort that my colleague Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, has put into this. The Taoiseach has shown massive commitment to it as well, as has all the party leaders. The key objective is to ensure that the scheme we put in place is one that is right and fully thought out and covers all the different aspects in terms of support that homeowners will need. So that's, I've been having very considered engagement with Cabinet colleagues, Minister O'Brien, in relation to this. He's been having them with Cabinet colleagues. We don't want to make the mistake of putting a timeline in terms of when exactly it will go to Cabinet, but everyone is working to ensure that it comes to Cabinet as quickly as possible. But the key thing which all homeowners I know want us to deliver, and it's right in the center of it for many years, and I've advocated on this for many years, and it's an important moment now. And what homeowners want us to do is to make sure that the scheme is right and that it stands the test of time, because it will be something that homeowners will be availing of for many years to come, and therefore it's important that it's one structurally which services them well and which covers the cost properly for them.
So you don't know for certain whether it's going to be available or ready to sign off this coming Tuesday.
I do expect it to be very soon, Gavin, but it'll go to Cabinet as soon as all involved are satisfied that it is a scheme which does the job properly.
Will you be happy with any scheme that falls short of the demand from the campaigners, which is 100% redress and for all of their ancillary costs to be covered?
I absolutely believe that it needs to be 100%, and that's what I'm working with Minister O'Brien to achieve. And I'm very confident that we will get a scheme which will achieve that. There's still engagement going on in relation to the details across many aspects of it. But it is really important from my point of view that homeowners who, you know, this is, has, as you said at the start yourself, has been a massive blight in their lives for many years, most of whom have existing mortgages on their properties, that they do get full support, financial support, and 100% support to address that. And that's certainly my objective, working with government colleagues to achieve that.
And will you accept and will you sign off at Cabinet on anything which falls short of that?
My objective is to ensure that when it goes to Cabinet, that's the scheme that which is delivered, and that's what I'm engaging with my Cabinet colleagues at the moment to deliver, Gavin.
Anything short of that will be a very, very hard sell to your constituents.
Anything short of that isn't what I believe will be the outcome here. There's very significant engagement across government. There's very strong commitment from government to support homeowners to address this issue. And certainly I'm confident that where we get to will be one which actually delivers a scheme which will properly and fully serve homeowners and allow them to get their homes fixed and cover the cost of it.
Okay. You say you don't know when that is going to come to Cabinet. We also don't know when Cabinet is going to be presented with the prospect of having to impose further restrictions on how we go about our lives, what we're allowed to do, who we're allowed to see and the likes. There'll be a lot of people listening today who will think that more restrictions are inevitable and that the government merely postponed the inevitable by not doing more the week just gone.
No, I don't think so. I think obviously it was a disappointment that we had to take the steps that was there because of given the infection backdrop that was in place. I think it was a responsible decision. But I think the key message for everyone is that, that there is a role for everyone in how we conduct our personal lives in the time ahead to deliver to that deliver that national objective of reducing infection figures in the time ahead. Anyone who's going to be infected by COVID in December hasn't yet been infected. Obviously, the numbers have been increasing over recent weeks, but by taking steps in our own lives in relation to how we operate, we can ensure that those infection rates decline over the time ahead, and everyone has to play their role in relation to that.
Is that to say, though, that the restrictions that were announced earlier this week and some of the curbs on how people go about their lives, that will be enough to avert the need for further restrictions? Because that would be a confidence a lot of other people don't have.
Well, I think what will be enough, Gavin, will be everyone playing their personal role in relation to it. And I think as opposed to the government having to make decisions that puts in place restrictions, I think this will be much more effective if people, in terms of how they manage their lives themselves, be as responsible as possible and proportionate as possible in relation to the interactions that they have and also in relation to the precautions that they take.
Is that not the mistake that the government made exactly this time last year, where it thought that it could trust people to act in a general way? Then people exercised the freedoms that the government had given them, and then lo and behold, we were in shutdown for 3 or 4 months afterwards.
Well, thankfully, first of all, we're in a different position now in relation to the vaccination backdrop, obviously, and there's a really important work going on at the moment in relation to the rollout of the booster vaccinations to help support that. But I think that the key message we have is for people to actually take those actions themselves because of the vaccinations being where it's at. We do have that capacity to have society opened at the moment, but it's not a free pass. Everyone, in terms of their personal responsibility, has to continue to be very vigilant, and particularly so given the backdrop we've seen over the last few weeks where infections have increased again. And it's only, Gavin, ultimately, it's not by the government taking certain measures that we can address this. It's only by everyone working together that we can actually bring those infection figures down again.
If the government has to oversee major restrictions or another lockdown, wouldn't that pretty much be the death knell for Fianna Fáil's authority to run the country through this?
I don't accept that this is a matter for any particular party, Gavin. You have to remember the context here, that we're dealing with an international epidemic and pandemic. What we're seeing happening in Ireland is happening right now in other parts of Europe and other parts of the world as well. I think as a country, we have worked really, really well, everyone working together to address the challenge that's been there. We have the highest vaccination rate in Europe, which has been really important in relation to being able to actually keep hospitalization levels low and keep people safe. And it's now by all of us working together that we can continue to address it. And it's going to take that. But it's not about any one political party or about, indeed, the government on its own being able to do this. Absolutely, the government has to show leadership. I believe it has done so, and I believe it will continue to do so. But only by all of us working together can we address the challenge and keep hospitalization levels low and work our way through this.
Okay, we will leave it there. Minister for Agriculture and Fianna Fáil TD for Donegal, Charlie McConnell, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime on The Record.